everyone. This is the September 10th, 2010 Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, and I am Dana Marie. As always, it's a pleasure to connect with each and every single one of you, and thanks so much for listening. Well, just before recording today's podcast, I had to I had to somehow discipline, in a nice way, one of my two kitty pals, Gigi, the younger of the two. She's the daughter of the mama. Gigi has this habit of tipping over her water dish, so in turn, there's water always all over the floor. And regardless of my attempts to keep the floor dry with paper towels or regular towels or plastic underneath the water bowl, even if the water bowl is not supposed to be tippable, I'm not even sure that's a word, I got a little thing here that looks like an upturned water bottle with a dish underneath, and that is not supposed to tip, but somehow Gigi finds her way to splash water all over the floor regardless. So I took away said water drinking device until further notice, and to until I come up with a way for her to be able to drink the water without so much playing in it. Well, she likes water, but not the expense of my poor wood floors here. So that was very interesting. Anyhow, this is another podcast, and again, I thank you for listening, and we have quite a lineup here today. First, we're going to talk about a subject I think really warrants some attention, given some current events in the news as of late and so forth, and tomorrow is the 9th anniversary of September 11th, of course, and that still leaves an impact on me because I was very close to where it happened in Lower Manhattan back in 2001 when I lived in New Jersey. But the subject is not really about 9/11 per se, but the subject that I would like to talk about is why intolerance is sweeter than acceptance. Next, I have a reading request for Abby. Then upcoming psychic events that I am participating in, especially one taking place tomorrow, September 11th. Then I have a reading request for Christy. So it's going to be a somewhat of a shorter podcast today, given that I have to prepare for tomorrow at the Meta Center and so forth. Okay. Why intolerance is sweeter than acceptance? Well, don't let the subject title fool you, okay? I'm all about acceptance. I'm all about respecting one's beliefs in religion or one's spiritual views or one's persuasion when it comes to sexual orientation. I'm all for tolerance. But then again, on the flip side is intolerance. And why is it so much sweeter? It's sweeter due to resistance. There are those who are, okay, let's come out and say it, narrow-minded. those of the narrow-mindedness are comforted by intolerance to the point in which that they hang on to that resistance and use it as a crutch or as a channel, if you will, to vent their frustrations that the world is changing, and that we are going through change. And when you resist change, it leads to frustration, so therefore, there's intolerance. Case in point, for those who care to look at the news, and especially if you're in a big city like New York, well, you can't be oblivious to everything. There are some things that warrant attention, such as the local media, such as that with the whole mosque fiasco, or the building of the mosque in Lower Manhattan, within short distance from where the World Trade Center once stood. And my point on that is, well, wherever you go in life, or where there is a belief, where there is some sort of strong view, there's always going to be some level of fanaticism and extremism. And I'm here to say for the record that not every Muslim is a terrorist, and not every Christian is a fundamentalist. Yet you have the extremists, and you have the fundamentalists, which are pretty much the same thing. They're the bad apples, if you will. Those are the ones who speak of intolerance, not having the wherewithal or the capability to accept that there are others, that there are differences, there's diversity. And resistance comes from fear, the fear of change. So anyway, with the whole mosque situation, I can understand that having it built so close to a very horrible incident that took place 9 years ago, and it was because of terrorism that we are commemorating, or at least we are memorializing, the September 11th attacks. It's a very touchy, sensitive subject, and will always be touchy and sensitive for many, many years to come. September 11th is never going away, at least not within my lifetime or your lifetime. So I believe there should be an honor of respect, if you will, that due to the sensitive nature of the September 11th attacks, the mosque itself should not be built so close to it. But then again, I'm not saying that, oh, all Muslims are terrorists. I'm just referring to the sensitive nature of where the mosque is being built in relation to what took place in Lower Manhattan 9 years ago. But then again, as I said, not all Muslims are terrorists, and not all Christians are fundamentalists. I know some very progressive Christians and very open-minded Muslims, okay? One bad apple doesn't spoil the whole bunch, or several. But then again, whenever there's intolerance, resistance, that comfort, the sweetness of one's limited point of view, it boils and it simmers into a lot of into feelings of that, I'm just saying this hypothetically, being a Christian is better than being Jewish, or being Jewish is better than being a Muslim, or, you know, it triggers into that. That's how wars get started, basically. That's how wars get started, just through one's limited, narrow-minded point of view, and how it festers into extremism or fundamentalism, that wars get started, and therefore there's violence, you know, violence begets violence, and all of that. And I'm all about peace, okay? I'm all about peace, I'm all about tolerance, and I believe that what we should do collectively as human beings, because we are, well, in essence, we're spiritual beings having human experiences, is tolerating peace and accepting peace and accepting diversity and accepting cultural, social, and religious differences. And that's what it really boils down to. And not so much even with religion, okay? I mean, even for one's own sexual orientation or one's physical appearance, okay? I mean, this isn't... I mean, we're not... Okay, let me just rephrase what I'm about to say here, is that we're all created from the same source, but we're certainly not cut from the same cloth either, okay? We didn't come from the same mold, although we came from the same source, regardless of how you call it. Okay? And there's this cookie-cutter society that we're living in which somehow dictates how we're supposed to look and how we're supposed to act and what kind of differences are supposed to be mainstream. And acceptance for all, again, regardless of shape, size, gender, sexual orientation, social differences. Acceptance for all. Wouldn't that make the world such a better place if that were the case? So the reason why I chose the subject title as Why Intolerance is Sweeter Than Acceptance, because those who are still stuck in that resistance find it sweeter than stepping out of the comfort zone. It's habit. And to them, resisting, fighting tolerance justifies their actions. And to them, in their limited thinking, so to speak, it makes life more sweeter to be intolerant than to accept. So I am hoping that at least by tomorrow, and the pastor in Florida especially, I hope he doesn't, I pray, we all pray that he refrains from his view of intolerance and sees the bigger picture here. Because of his one-sided, very narrow-minded point of view, if he goes on to do what he pledges that he's going to do, he said he was, then he wasn't, now he said that he might, it's going to lead to a lot of backlash and repercussions. And then he's going to be the point man of what could eventually happen, because there are the extremists and there are the fundamentalists who would retaliate. And I believe in his best interest, the pastor that is, and the best interest for all, that he should just refrain from doing what he pledged to do. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you might want to check out CNN.com briefly, because it's not even worth mentioning here. But it's a shame that we have come this far as a country from years of, you know, having our own civil rights violated, and now we're going back to the 1950s and, you know, pre-1960s civil rights movement again, but in a different way, so to speak. You know, there was a time in which people were burning crosses, okay? So what makes what this pastor do, you know, not any better? Because it's not any better than that. It's the same. So, my friends, please know that we are diverse. And although we may look differently and speak differently and conduct our lives differently, we all come from the same God. The same source. And if there's a way that we can shift the evangelism and the extremism and the fundamentalism into basically what is, which is we all came from the same creator, and that speaks highly of love, divine love, we wouldn't have to worry about all of this resistance that's going on right now. And you know, whether or not that mosque is even built near the World Trade Center site, whether or not it is, maybe it shouldn't be just a mosque. Maybe it should be a multicultural, multi-social center for all faiths to congregate. All Christians, all Muslims, all Jews, all Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, everyone to congregate. And even if, like, let's say one floor is for one and one floor is for another, then there should still be that openness to embrace everyone. And that's the kind of church I would like to go to. Interfaith, non-denominational, multicultural place of fellowship. So that we, in turn, can all praise and honor the divine within each and every single one of us. So there you go. And I'm hoping that this semi-controversial topic is has not offended anyone, but it is definitely open to discussion. And if you would like to share your thoughts based on today's topic, why intolerance is sweeter than acceptance, you can send me an email to podcast@intuitivedana.com, or you can also send your comments to me via my Facebook or Twitter pages, facebook.com or twitter.com/Dana333444. And if you'd like to be my Facebook friend by listening to this podcast, I will only accept you only if you mention that you heard me on this podcast. I don't accept every friend request because there are some people I just don't know. And I know Facebook is supposed to be about making new friends and connections and whatnot, but you know, there are some new requests that came through that I had to reject because they didn't say who they were or how they knew me. So please, if you'd like to be my Facebook friend, please do mention somehow to me that you heard about me and via the podcast, if I can get my tongue back in my head. Okay? Alrighty then. The first reading request today... Oops, I want to drink a little bit of water first. Okay. It's from Abby. Date of birth is 6/22/77. And Abby's question is, will my husband and I move out of New York in the next year? Abby, absolutely. And maybe even sooner than within the year. I'm either getting that you and your husband have both faced your fair share of financial difficulties over the past 6 months, and you're looking for a fresh start. You're looking for a new beginning. You're looking for that clean slate. And I know, I live in New York myself, and sometimes I even this morning I was wondering, shoot, you know, maybe my time here in the Big Apple is coming to an end somehow, although I just don't know where I'm going to end up. But for you, I believe that you're already at that point. I know that I have this feeling that you guys have either lived in New York all your lives or you've been here for quite a period of time and you've gone through your share of life experiences. You had your good and bad, your ups and downs, your positives and negatives. But it just seems as if over the past 6 months, things have been kind of like out of control, a lot of turbulence, a lot of rockiness. So I don't know if this came from losses of jobs or losses of income, or maybe the neighborhood that you're living in has changed demographically somehow, and you're just looking for a new beginning, and there is nothing really wrong with that. And Abby, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, once you set the intention that perhaps it's time to move on from New York, things are going to start falling into place rather quickly. And maybe even in the next 6 to 8 months or so, you may find yourself living outside of this area. As to where you may end up, I don't know exactly what you have in mind. Obviously, this is a one-sided reading, so I'm only, you know, you're only hearing my voice, and I'm not getting your feedback. per se. It could be anywhere south and west geographically of your current location. So you may be moving south, maybe, I don't know, DC, Maryland, Virginia. You could be moving west, maybe southwest. But wherever you're going, you're going to find expansion. You're going to find new opportunities. You're going to find growth on all levels. I believe that you feel a little bit stifled here in New York. And New York is a great place of expansion too and diversity, but the energy doesn't fit everyone, and sometimes, you know, even the best neighborhoods in New York or New York City can be a bit much sometimes with all the congestion and the pollution and the vibration is a bit high. And you and your husband may be just looking for a place a little bit more laid back, so that you can really enjoy life without all of the hectic pace and just take life one day at a time. So if this kind of fits what you and your husband are exploring right now, Abby, then I would have to say most definitely you're at the point right now in which you're tying up a lot of loose ends, and you're seeking closure in New York as of now. And this intention is basically preparing you for a move south and west of your present location, okay? So I wish you the very best on your upcoming endeavor. I don't see you in New York past, let's say past late spring of 2011, give or take a few months, alrighty? And wherever you go, know that it's for your highest and best good, okay? So, Abby, thank you so much for your question. And if you out there would like to have a free mini reading on the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, send first names or aliases or initials or anonymous and complete dates of birth, month, day, and year. Very important. And your one question to podcast@intuitivedata.com. And also to let you know that this podcast for now is recorded 2 times a month, and the next recording will be sometime towards the end of September. So we're going to take a quick break right now, and I'll be back with upcoming psychic events and the reading request for Christy. So don't go away.
Are you looking for detailed answers to very important questions? Hi, I'm Dana Marie, and for 2 decades, I helped many clients transition from confusion to clarity. As tarot medium and clairvoyant, I deeply explore finances, career, relationships, soul connections, spiritual awareness, and personal growth. Insightful guidance reveals predictions for your highest and best good. To schedule an appointment, visit my website, intuitivedana.com, intuitivedana.com, or connect with me via Twitter at Dana333444. I look forward to assisting you. Peace, love, and many blessings.
Welcome back to the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast. Today is September 10th, 2010, and I am Dana Marie. Okay, I'm going to share with you some upcoming psychic events featuring yours truly. I have at least a couple of more radio show appearances coming up in the month of September. And a few are still pending at this time. And for more information on how you can hear me live on the air and an opportunity for you to even get a free reading from an upcoming radio show, I encourage you to visit my website, intuitivedana.com, and check out announcements on the main page. When you click on announcements, you'll see radio show appearances and list of upcoming shows. Again, one that's definitely coming up is on Tuesday the 14th at 10 p.m. on AskOneRadio.com, Paul Miner's show. And quite a few are still pending at this time. I'm just waiting to hear what those dates are exactly. But for more information on upcoming shows or even past shows that you can actually listen to that have been archived, so you can get a taste of how I give on-the-spot, live, on-air readings, again, go to intuitivedana.com and go to Announcements on the main page. Next, tomorrow afternoon, I will be appearing at the Meta Center's open house in Manhattan to give readings for free, actually, for a couple of hours. So if you're in the New York City area and you'd like to come by for a free mini reading live and in person, you may do so tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, September 11th, from 1:45 to 3:45 at the Meta Center, M-E-T-A. And for more information, you can call them at 212-7... I should have had that information handy. Well, they are located on West 29th Street. Oh, wait a minute. You can find that out on my website, too. Duh. Go to intuitivedana.com and click on Events. And that's where you can find out exactly how to get to the Meta Center tomorrow afternoon, September 11th, and the correct phone number to call for more information. I'm only going to be there for 2 hours, so it's not a whole day thing, but the open house itself is an entire day for healing, for prayer, for reflective thought, for meditation, as it is also to honor and to honor us on the anniversary of September 11th. So that's tomorrow afternoon. I'll be there from 1:45 to 3:45 at the Meta Center. The week after that, on Saturday, September 18th, is the second Enchanted Studio Psychic Fair that's taking place here at 281 East 205th Street in the Bronx on the fifth floor from 12:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. And you will have your choice of readings from very talented readers from tarot to angel readings to astrology. There will also be a certified holistic nutritionist on hand during the afternoon to give you some pointers and some tips on how to eat enriched and abundant foods for your wellness. So come on out to the North Bronx next Saturday, September 18th, from 12:30 to 6 p.m. for the Enchanted Studio Psychic Fair. The admission is free, although you would have to pay for the individual sessions at the fair. And we try to keep it as affordable as possible so that everyone gets a turn and everyone gets an opportunity to have at least more than one reading from our great talent coming up on the 18th. Next, I anticipate giving readings for Best American Psychics once again at the New York New Life Expo at the Hotel New Yorker from October 15th to the 17th. Now, I'll probably only be there for at least one day, and as of now, I'm not sure which day that is. It could be the 15th or the 16th or the 17th that I will be there to give readings. But the Best American Psychics will definitely be there for the entire weekend at the New York New Life Expo, October 15th to the 17th. I had the opportunity to be there back in March for Best American Psychics. I was there a year ago, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. And as soon as I get more information from Best American Psychics in terms of the day and the hours, I will post that on my Facebook page and on my website. So look for me at the Best American Psychic Spoof at the New York New Life Expo, which is the entire weekend of October 15th to 17th at the Hotel New Yorker. And lastly, and this pretty much depends on the New Life Expo that same weekend, is the Free Spirit Gathering on Sunday, October 17th here at the Enchanted Studio. It's a free spirit gathering in which I, without any cards or any other type of divinational tool, I channel psychic information from source, from God, from spirit, in a circle for free mini readings. Free. Okay? Donations are obligatory, but always helpful. And more information about the Free Spirit Gathering is also on my website, intuitivedana.com, under events. Now, in the event I happen to be at the New York New Life Expo on October 17th, then I'm probably going to postpone the free gathering at least by a week, the following week. If I'm doing the New York New Life Expo, let's say October 15th or 16th, then I'm still doing the Free Spirit Gathering on the 17th of October, which in fact is the day before my birthday. My birthday is October 18th. So it looks like I'm going to have a jammed-packed, fun weekend all around, even with my birthday. So the Free Spirit Gathering is at the Enchanted Studio. For now, it is definitely for October 17th, unless that changes due to the New York New Life Expo the same weekend. Okay? Alrighty. Whew. Next, I have a reading request for Christy. And Christy's date of birth is 6/19/55. And her question is, when will I be hired? And for whom? Thank you so much for your question, Christy. Well, I mean, I'm in the same boat, so I can definitely relate to your concerns right now about finding employment right now. But I believe there's some residual stuff that's still going on within you that's sort of bumbling to the surface right now. Either your last place of employment was somehow a bit toxic, and there's still some residual stuff that you're clearing out from that, or that maybe your last place of work, you were there for a long, long, long period of time, and that finding new work now has been a little bit more difficult. What I'm seeing here for you, Christy, is that you are entering into this phase, if you will, of self-discovery, and that the type of work that you did before, I can honestly say that you won't be doing again. I believe that you're going to be heading into some type of a new dynamic with work. Something different, something out of the blue, something totally unexpected, but yet it's really going to be an experience for you in a positive way and will utilize your natural abilities all across the board. I get right now that you are somewhat, how shall I say this? You're regurgitating some minute traces of toxic stuff from either your last job or just life in general. You're just, you know, allowing that to leave your system, okay? And that's being replaced with a sense of inner peace, a sense of understanding. So you're really on this path of self-discovery right now. And what's going to be happening around, I would have to say, around the 20th of this month, okay? The 20th of September is when you reach that aha epiphany moment. Like, oh, so that's it. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Or, oh, okay, then I can redirect my focus in this direction or in this path towards employment. Okay. You want to know who you're going to be hired by and when. Well, I don't see you getting hired in September, if I don't want to lead you astray on that. It may take you a few months longer. So I'm hoping that you're still eligible to claim unemployment benefits for a little while longer. But I'm seeing you working at a place where, and speaking of which, it kind of touches upon the subject we talked about, where there is a little bit more diversity, culture-wise. And I don't know, either this is some kind of a multicultural center or multi-ethical center. It's a place that's been around for ages, okay? And it kind of reminds me of this institute in New York, because I would assume that you may be in a New York area, but if not, then there is a center called the It's something along the lines of the Multi-Ethical or Multicultural Ethical Society. They've been called atheists, but I don't think they're atheists. It's just that they are they're open-minded without putting much of an emphasis on religion. Okay, so I don't believe they're atheists. I just believe that they do good work, but without the spiritual overtone or spiritual undertone, neither. Some place like that, where you can really expand your horizons. It's a peaceful place. It's a peaceful organization. And they've been around forever. It's kind of like part educational center, part community center, part, you know, very diverse place to work. And I also wouldn't be surprised too, in relation to that, Christy, that you might also be inspired to work at some kind of a museum or horticultural society. Where did that come from? Horticultural. But some place in which, you know, it's not a new foundation. It's been around for quite some time. Maybe even, who knows, like 500 years. Well, maybe not that long. Maybe more like a century. Well, I'm looking at the number 5, so maybe that's how I got the timing mixed up in my mind. Definitely for at least a century. I wouldn't be surprised, Christy, that you come across this or that you actually do become employed, but not until spring of next year. I get more of an April, May feel to this, and I know that seems like it's so far, far away in advance. And I'm really hoping that your unemployment benefits, or however you've been able to sustain your income, you know, will still be able to carry you through until then. But it's kind of like you're reaching that aha epiphany moment now, and that's going to allow you to look outside your limits when it comes to finding work, and you're going to somehow land a position in the unlikeliest of places, and I'm thinking someplace along the lines of multi-ethical, multicultural, someplace in which there is a great deal of diversity, okay? It could still be a religious institution too. It could be that. It could be even a church, if it's someplace traditional. But just keep in mind that the kind of work or the kind of industry or the kind of companies that you've worked for in the past, that's done. That's over with. And you're entering into this new, I shouldn't say a phase, but more like a chapter of self-exploration that's going to take you to where you need to be, where you can serve, where you can be of service, and to utilize all of your strengths, your talents, your abilities, tenfold, okay? It may not be for a while, and I'm hoping I'm wrong in that. Of course, you would like to find a job as soon as possible, but for where you're going to be the happiest, okay, and be within your own element, it's going to take a little while longer. So use the time now to explore for some self-discovery, and around the 20th of this month, you're going to be like, oh, so that's it. I get it now. Okay, Christy, I wish you the very best on that. and thank you so much for your question. And if you out there would like to have a free reading on the Intuitive Guide and Psychic Podcast, send first names, dates of birth, and one question to podcast@intuitivedata.com. I decided not to do a spirit message today for this particular podcast. I will pick that up again on the next go-around. But I do want to end this podcast by saying that I still can't believe it's been 9 years since 9/11. And I remember very well where I was and what I was doing at that time, just to reflect briefly. Like now, I was in between jobs then. And the morning of September 11th, 2001, I was actually sleeping late, and I was supposed to go into Manhattan that afternoon to meet with an employment agency. And so I slept past, I guess, 8:30 when the first plane hit or so, so I missed it. I received a phone call from a friend of mine, I guess around 9:15, and my TV was off. I was sleeping in late. I didn't have to go into Manhattan until later that day. My friend called, and she was like, "Oh, are you going into Manhattan today?" And I'm kind of like, "Well, yeah." And I'm thinking, why? I was thinking maybe she wanted to meet me for lunch, or maybe there was a problem with the subway. I was living in Jersey City, actually. And she said, "I think you better put on the TV." And I said, "Oh boy, something's wrong with the subway. I wonder what happened." I turned on the TV, and then I witnessed for the next several hours from that point the most horrific scenes I can ever imagine in my lifetime. And of course, I was very distraught. We were all distraught. We were all distraught and just shocked and stunned and frightened and scared and in so much pain that how could anyone do this? How can anyone plan this and execute this? It felt that we were being executed, essentially, as Americans, I guess, but just as people. As people, we felt as if we were being executed just for. So I was in an uptight state for the next several days afterwards. And my cat Maggie, well, I mean, as you know, she passed away a few months ago. My cat Maggie was like was this huge source of comfort for me at that time. For a few nights after 9/11 happened, Maggie, who always liked to sleep by herself in the other room at a place I was staying in Jersey at the time, for a few nights she would sleep near my head, right on the pillow, right near my head. I guess for about maybe, you know, a few nights, it could have been at least 2 weeks. And I thought, how sensitive of that for her to even feel what I was feeling back then. And then I guess after I started to come out of this state of anxiety that I was in, she felt that I was okay and went back to sleep at her usual spot. I mean, the world has changed significantly since 9/11. You know, there's more security, we're a little bit more sensitive, we're a little bit more uptight, we're suspicious of people, we suspect people. And it's no coincidence that I believe 9/11 had to have happened for the sake of just helping us, or at least pointing us in a direction of facing our own fears and how to deal with that. Even if something as horrific and as the events themselves, but we had to really internalize our fears and face and confront them on some level. And the world will never be the same, of course, but I believe spiritually we've learned a lot. And now it's time for us to embrace peace where there is still a great deal of resistance in the world today. So, and for those who have lost loved ones or who did lose loved ones on 9/11, we're still with you. We haven't forgotten. We'll never forget. We will always remember. And we pray for you, because you know it. I know even still, 9 years later, it's still fresh, and it still hurts. And we pray for you. We really do. Alrighty. So I will have the next podcast, as I said, around the end of September. So until next time, peace, many blessings, and love and light to you. Namaste.